listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Praise the Savior now and ever. Praise Him all beneath the skies. Prostrate lying, suffering, dying, on the cross, a sacrifice. Victory gaining, life obtaining, now in glory He doth rise. Reading today from Acts chapter 2, reading there on the day of Pentecost the words of Peter as he spoke them to the multitude that was before him. Verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall also rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thine enemies, thy foes, thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Let's pray to God, giving thanks for the fulfilling of his word, the fulfilling of the scripture as David had spoken of it, and others had spoken of it as well, and that we might again experience another time of such blessing. If we would have started to read the first part of the chapter, the first verse we would have read when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Will there be yet other fullnesses and other blessings that God will send? Let's pray that he will. The fullness that he's promised for the house of Judah and the house of Israel, that will come in our time, and we will as well be blessed as they will. Let's pray for a fullness of revival in the church, that the church might be a salt and a light again in our nation and every other nation. Let's pray for the fullness of God's word to take place. There will be those preaching as following this day of Pentecost. Stephen, who was full of the Holy Ghost, and then preached wonderfully, even though they hated it and killed him. Yet later Paul was converted, and others. Let's pray for such blessing, such fullness, once again in our time. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, coming only in his name. And if we are coming only in his name, we pray that thou wilt wean us from any and all other ways, all other hopes, all other restings in our own self or others or any other way. We pray that none may be left resting in their own works, none may be resting in the church itself, but only and always in the message of Christ and Christ himself, the message that is to be preached by the church which must be the pillar and ground of the truth, and then of him who is the way, the truth, and the life, through whom alone we can know the truth, and through whom alone we can be set free if we continue in thy word and know the truth, be given the truth, and have that truth to set us free, and then the truth that leads us to thee, Lord Jesus. And as thou hast thyself said, if thou, the Son, will set us free, we'll be free indeed. We pray that thou wouldst free the church today from every error that divides, that lifts up with pride, and that makes thee, Father, hide thy face. We pray that we might be humbled before thee and then humbled together with Christ and in Christ, that we might go forth once more as Peter and others, the other apostles, did, going forth, even making others to recognize that they had been with thee, Lord Jesus. We pray for the great blessing that is promised. We pray for the great blessing that is so much needed. If there is to come peace on earth, goodwill toward men, if there is to be peace in our homes, peace in the churches, peace in our nation, and we pray, Father, the church may not foolishly think that we can even elect men and have a good government without thy blessing and without them being thy children. For thou hast said, Lord Jesus, without me you can do nothing. And we pray that though one may not be as bad as another, make us to know that without Christ there is none that doeth good, no, not one, and that our government officials are helpless without thee. And we pray that the church might learn that, and the church might then soon preach the gospel to every creature. We pray, Father, for those blessings first. We pray that we might be made, all of us together, in the church and in the world, to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, that we might pray as thou hast taught us to pray, Lord Jesus, that thy kingdom come, thy will might be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that we might think more of that and less of our daily bread, and know that daily bread will be given by thee, even as it's given to the birds, and how thou dost clothe the lilies of the field without their toil. And we pray that we might see that our toil is in vain, except thou dost build the house. We pray, Father, for those who have special needs and sorrow, in sickness and injury, the troubled homes, the lonesome, the widows, the widowers. We pray, Father, for all of those, the children in troubled homes that are in despair and troubled. We pray that thou wilt teach them in such a way that there will be a better generation ahead than the past, the present, or the past generations, that there might be a returning to thee rather than a turning from thee as we are doing, that thou wilt make us to see our sin in our nation and other nations as well, the sin of immorality, the sin of murder of the unborn, the sin of covetousness, and all the different sins that we are guilty of. We pray this all and give thanks through Christ. Amen. As we come in our study of the resurrection of Christ to this blessing coming out of the resurrection, this resurrection power known as the Lord Jesus had said to the apostles before his death and after his ascension, after his resurrection, just before his ascension, he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Before he died, he had promised the Holy Spirit would come and be given. They would pray the Father. And now he has come. The day of Pentecost was fully come, as the first verse of this chapter tells us. We begin reading at the 22nd verse. In the first part of that chapter, we read how they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, how they all began to speak in other tongues, how there were dwelling at Jerusalem on this day of Pentecost, a holiday that, and a holy day that Israel kept, and they would come from other nations. The Jews would have their synagogues in these different cities, but on this day they would come to Jerusalem. And we read, every man from every nation under heaven. I believe there are 18 nations mentioned here, but if we go back to the time of Esther, and we read there that Esther and the king at that time reigned over 127 nations from Ethiopia to India. And there were probably that many nations now, and the Jews were scattered throughout all nations. And so there were many, many there. These 3,000 that are mentioned that believed, and we don't know how many were there that did not believe. But we know that this is a wonderful day, this day of Pentecost, which was fully come. And though it was the Spirit that was given, let's remember it was all because of Christ. All according to his promise. All according to his prayer to the Father. All for what he paid for on the cross, the shedding of his blood, his dying, his being buried. And now he rose again. Even as Paul would write later in the book of Romans, he died for our offenses and he rose for our justification. Yes, in this, let's not forget to praise the Savior, as the song stated that we sang before this at the beginning of this broadcast. Not a very, not probably a very well-known song, but a wonderful song. Let me read that first verse again. Praise the Savior now and ever. Praise Him all beneath the skies, prostrate, lying, suffering, dying on the cross of sacrifice that had taken place. Victory gaining, life obtaining, now in glory He doth rise. Yes, He hung on the cross. He was buried. And He gained the victory in His resurrection. And as we read, not only as we read there in verse 24 of the second chapter of Acts, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He was to be holden of it. Twice in this sermon, Peter referred to the resurrection, God doing it, and then also David speaking of it and prophesying of it. Verse 31, speaking of David, he seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell or in the grave, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. But not only that, also another prophecy that David gave in Psalm 110, we read in verse 34, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So He was on the cross, He was buried, He rose again, walked this earth, ascended, and is now sitting on the right hand of God. Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Some will be made His footstool by saying, as these did on the day of Pentecost, what shall we do? And some will hear the words rightly, as Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They had the beginning work of the Holy Spirit. The new birth was taking place. The conviction was taking place. They were pricked in their hearts, and that would not have happened if the Holy Spirit had not been there. They would have remained hard-hearted, as others did before that and later. But now they were humbled. They were like little children, even as Christ had said while He was here on earth, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. This was being fulfilled all by God's decree, by God's plan, by God's purpose. And the day of Pentecost was fully come. These things unfolded. They happened. And when the people said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter gave the answer that we just read. Every one, he said. Every one. Not some. Not just parents. Children, too. The same promise is to the children. If you repent and are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of your sins, you will also receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, don't rush the Scriptures. Don't twist the Scriptures. Don't change them as so often is being done in the churches. And forms that are read that are not scriptural, just read them carefully and see what they promise. Yes, we've heard much since the Reformation of sola Scripture. Sola grace, sola faith, sola Christ, meaning only, 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 only. And then if you read the form used for baptism of infants, you couldn't conclude anything else but sola baptism. Sola baptism on children that have not yet heard or seen the Scriptures, on children that have not had faith, on children that have not yet learned about the need of Christ. The children that have not had grace exercised by conviction, by God granting them repentance, and then giving them faith. That's sola Scripture, not the tradition of men. Listen, as Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Every one. In verse 41, we read then that they that gladly received His word were baptized. It didn't say, and their children when they went home. This is the message these parents could take to their children. Many of these feasts was only the men. The men had to go to 3 feasts a year of the Jews. Here was one that was probably attended by the men from different places. These thousands of men that had gathered. And now these 3,000, we read, that were added unto them. And later, the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. We didn't read that far, but the 47th verse, the last verse of the chapter, tells us that. Such as should be saved. We often, again in the forms that are used, would read as if children are saved. Some of the forms even state that they are part of the Church of Christ, and therefore we baptize them. Are they then saved? Have they been saved? Have they been born again? Some would say, oh yes, they can be born again in their mother's womb. Can we separate the work of the Spirit and the partaking in Christ? Can there be a work of the Spirit long, long before there's life in Christ? As Christ said, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. Peter was proclaiming that one whose body had been broken on the cross. Peter was proclaiming that one whose blood was shed on the cross. And then proclaiming that he was the one that God had raised from the dead. He became dead that we might live. Oh, there is a work of the Spirit. But remember, as Christ said before he died, when the Spirit comes, he will not speak of himself. And for people to say, well, I'm born again, but I may not yet have assurance. Is that scriptural? Is that the teaching of Peter? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the same gift as Paul talks about, that the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The same Spirit that Paul also talks about when he writes to the Ephesians. The earlier one is in Romans 8. Ephesians 1:13 states that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise after that ye believed. Yes, there are many ways in which the Spirit works. To reprove, to lead unto all truth, to reveal, and to comfort, and to witness, all of that. Different times, different ways, sometimes to different people. To those who are truly taught like these were taught, they have all of that blessing. To those that are not taught all of it, as later when Stephen spoke to some, he said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. There is a resistible work of the Spirit, a general work, and there is a work that cannot be resisted. As Paul wrote to the church at Rome, also in Romans chapter 8, whom he called, them he also justified. Here were people being called because of the risen Christ, the crucified Christ, the buried Christ, the blood of Christ. That's why these people were being now called by Peter. Now it was fulfilled what Christ had said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. All because of Christ. As the song says, there's power in the blood. And going back to this song, prostrate, lying, suffering, dying, on the cross a sacrifice, victory gaining, life obtaining, now in glory he doth rise. And from glory he's building his church. From glory he saved 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. Just as much as in Luke 15 when the good shepherd goes after the one that is lost in the wilderness. One by one these were pricked in their hearts. One by one, each one had a pricking in their heart. together they may have said, what must we do? But again, individually, they had to receive the word gladly. Receive the word preached about the risen Christ, the Christ that God raised from the dead, the Christ that Peter said, David said, seeing before the resurrection of Christ that his soul was not left in hell or in the grave, nor his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. A little later we'll read the 4th chapter. Neither was there any among them that lacked anything. It says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. We must again give great witness to the resurrection of Christ, holding it as truth, declaring it, not just in the way of apologetics, as if we have to apologize for it and try to prove it right, but preach it. Preach it as Peter did. Peter preached here on the day of Pentecost. When they didn't know what was happening, Peter said, this is that which was spoken by Joel. Yes, the scriptures were here, now believed. We read last week, John chapter 20, when John and Peter went to the grave. It says, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again. They didn't know what David had said so plainly. They should have. When Christ died, they should have went and looked at the scripture. They should have done like the Bereans did after Paul was at Thessalonica, went to Berea. These were more noble. They searched the scriptures. That's what the apostles should have been doing, but instead of that, they hid away in a room, locked the door in fear and unbelief. Such unbelief that when Christ came to them, he had to reprove them for their hardness of heart and unbelief. They knew not the scripture. But we also can read Luke 24, he opened to them the scriptures. Yes, the scriptures, often spoken of. During his crucifixion, we read in John chapter 19, verse 24, 28, 36, and 37, all that the scripture might be fulfilled. And then the resurrection was in the scripture, even though John and Peter didn't seem to realize it, didn't know it, didn't remember it. They had been taught it by Christ. Yes, there is a resurrected Savior as the scripture said he would, as David said 1,000 years before it took place, that he would not, God would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. He raised him. He's in heaven today. He's the only risen prophet. Believe him. His word is true. Believe him not. You'll be damned.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.